It's true to say, Lord, that there isn't a single person here who hasn't got a wheelbarrow full of things to thank you for. Thank you, Lord. You're such an abundant giver. Thank you, Father, that you saved a wretch like all of us. There's not a one of us deserves anything from such a holy and precious Father. And yet he gives, and he gives, and he gives more, and he gives, and he gives more. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed Lord. Praise you, Father. Well, what a joy to be in the presence of God's people. Amen. Bless you, Father. While I'm chin-wagging, if you can find the book of Hebrews and the chapter 12. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Some short time ago, Carol and I were in America, mainly for holiday, praise God. But the Americans are shrewd people, and while we were there, they made us do some work. Bless them. Hallelujah. God's good, you know. We went to America for 5 weeks. Didn't cost us a penny. Came back with a new guitar for Carol. Didn't cost us a penny. Cost £1,000, but didn't cost us a penny. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. I'm in verse 28. You can be where you like. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Have you ever thought of yourselves as royalty? Huh? It's true, you know. Saint Colin, yes, and Saint David. But Prince Colin. My father's a king. That makes me a prince. That makes you princes and princesses. Have you ever thought of that? You should, you know. Oh, we might live in a council house, or we might drive around in something that Skoda wouldn't even put out on the road. But we're still princes and princesses in God's sight. And that's where it matters. Doesn't matter what we see. We live by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, you know that you are recipients of a kingdom. And not like Prince Charles, you know. Prince Charles is going to receive a kingdom. He is. That's what it's called, you know. He will receive a kingdom. Well, if God allows him to take the throne, I'm not sure if he will, to be honest. I wouldn't put money on it. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't put money on him becoming king. But we're receiving a better kingdom than that. He's just getting little old England. Oh, dear. Think of the kingdom we're getting. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. I hope the lifts work because it's 1,500 miles up. Have you thought about that? The city, it's a cube. 1,500 miles or thereabouts in every direction. If you live on the top floor, you're going to have such a view. If you live on any floor, you're going to have such a view. Hey, that's part of our kingdom. We're receiving that. I just thought I'd throw that in for good measure. It's nothing to do with what I'm going to talk to you about. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. I don't know, hasn't that come out this morning in all the things? Let us be thankful. Thankful in faith for what we are going to receive. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Praise you, Lord. You know, there's so many things going on in praise and worship today in the church. All of them musical. All of the activity in praise and worship in the church today is musical. Well, it is on. Take my word for it. We've been to Nashville. Not that that qualifies us for anything other than we've eaten hogfish or catfish. Hallelujah. In Los Angeles, all the food is so healthy, it's boring. Not so in Nashville. Everything's fried with batter on. Praise God for Nashville. One of the things that's happening, I believe, in praise and worship, and I'm talking to you about praise and worship, is that we're losing some of the sight, or some sight, of the reverence and the awe of God. The songs are becoming more and more flippant. You know, I'm not as old as David, but I can still remember some of the old hymns, you know, that we don't sing very much anymore. But some of the songs that have taken their place, you know, are ever so flippant. They're ever so shallow. There's no depth to them. Not all of them, but some of them. And it's encouraging us to lose sight of this. For our God is a consuming fire. Consuming fire. This is written to Christians. All of this book's written to Christians, all the New Testament. Our God is a consuming fire, you know. I think, not so much in this congregation, but in some of the congregations where we've been, we just need to take hold of the fact that our God is awesome. And He's worthy of so much more than we seem to be willing to give. And I say that to me too. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to us. I'm part of this too. He's worthy of so much more. You know, even clapping our hands after two songs, we get really fed up and tired. And that's just clapping hands. I mean, when you're doing the Pentecostal two-step, you know how you do? You know, it's two choruses and then I'm out of puff. He's worthy of more than that, you know. He's worthy of infinitely more than that. But look at this phrase, let us worship God acceptably. How do you worship God acceptably? The only answer to that is, it has to be in the way that is acceptable to God. Right? But what is happening today in church in general is that we're starting to worship God in ways that are acceptable to us. And I can give you a simple demonstration of that, because 2 weeks ago we were in an Anglican church, our first one. Amen. An Anglican church going forward and moving with God. But in general, if we talk about traditional churches, not just Anglicans, because there's traditional Pentecostal as well, you know, where the women sit on the one side and the men on the other. There are. They wear woolly hats. Oh, doesn't matter. But there are. And they will worship God in their particular way, which will usually involve the old hymns. I mean, some of the United Reformed churches sit down to sing their hymns. They don't even stand up. That's their way. That's acceptable to them. It wouldn't be acceptable to you. If we were going to start, to God be the glory, you would stand up. If you were saved, you'd stand up because you would want to stand in the presence of God. Right? But that's acceptable to them. So they will worship God that way. But you see, that way is not acceptable to us. So if you come to the other side of the fence, where you have the charismaniacs, now, you know, they'd be hanging off the balcony and jumping and standing on the seats, you know, and worshipping God that way, because that's acceptable to them. But it's certainly not to them. You know, the guys over there look at the guys over there and think, poor folks. And we look over there and we think they're dead. It's true. You can't con me. I've been around long enough to know. You can't con me. And there's crocodiles swimming up the middle. And we don't have anything to do with them and their dead tradition. And they don't have anything to do with us on our so-called freedom and charismatic stuff. You see, we worship God in ways that are acceptable to us. To make a point, let me ask you a question. Which do you think God prefers? Do you think God likes rock music? Do you think God likes rap music? I think they spelt it wrong. They missed the C off the front. I'm not God. You've noticed that, you know. But which do you think is, which one do you think God prefers? Now, some people would say they prefer, you know, the old-fashioned, the hymns and the organ, you know. And some people would say, no, God's a God of freedom. He prefers this.
One is God-conscious, not self-conscious.
Yeah, it's good. The simple truth is, God's not interested in the music. He several times he said in Scripture, away with your noisy songs. He couldn't care less about the music. What God wants is your heart. And if you've got a good heart, you can come over here and sing like this with a straight face, and you can love the Lord that way. And believe me, many of them do. And it's just as true over here. You can come over here and you can do this, and you can stand on the chairs and you can do that. If your heart's right with God, God accepts. God accepts that. But there's a verse in John. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, please. While you're going there, let me tell you something. There's even now a third form of worship being set up, and it's called alternative. And if you see some of it, you wonder what it's an alternative to. Not all of it. Some of it's great for the kids. Some of it's brilliant, but some of it's weird. Do you know, all as it does, all of this exaltation of music and the importance we're now placing on music and praise and worship, do you know what it's doing? It's dividing us. It's causing division. It has done between tradition and so-called freedom. There's a gap. It's brought division. And now there's this number three option. Alternative stuff, which seems to be odd to all the other two. So, how should we worship God? John 4, verse 23. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, Jesus said, when the true worshippers, note true, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. There's the key verse. If God is seeking a kind of worshipper, a kind of worshipper, that means he's not seeking all the others. God is seeking. You know, God is like this. God wants things done in his way. Right? And any other way is not acceptable. You only come to God through Jesus Christ. Any other way is not acceptable, no matter what the theologians say. And the multi-faith people say, there's only one way to Christ, only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. God will not accept you any other way. And he's adamant about this. He's adamant about his worshippers too. He says, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. These are the kind that he's seeking. You can't worship God in the flesh. So many songs now are so full of flesh. They are unacceptable to God as worship. The flesh counts for nothing. Only spirit counts with God. God is spirit. 24, I'm on verse 24. And his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And there it is. But what does it mean, spirit and truth? Well, this is what came in America. If you go to Romans chapter 12, please. This is what the Lord said, because I asked him. I'm like that, you know. Lord, what does it mean to worship you in spirit and in truth? Well, the word truth, let me tell you this. The word truth, it means to be dependable. Dependability. You know, if you turn up for work on time every day, you're called dependable. Be there on time. It also has an area of meaning, freedom from error. We're supposed to worship God. And whilst we're doing it, we're supposed to be free from error. It's the same word in Greek that Jesus said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the same word. It speaks about the character of the person. So God is looking for a character. The character of Christ in us. That's what it means, truth. That's what that word means. He's looking for a Christ-like character in us who come to Him to offer our worship. But let me just open up another facet of worship to you, because this is something which is also being neglected in favour of singing songs. Do you know worship is infinitely more than singing songs? You know that, don't you? Well, you do now, because I just told you. It's true, you know. Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul's writing, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy," and boy, are we grateful for God's mercy, "I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Because this is your spiritual act of worship." Now I'm reading the NIV. If you're reading the New King James, it probably says reasonable. But the Jews would have understood this in a spiritual sense. The Greeks understand things in a logical or reasonable sense. But the Jews were spiritual people. The word under this is logikos, which could be translated logic or reason. But the root of logikos is logos, which, if you're any kind of Greek scholar, which I'm not, you understand means the word. And Jesus said, well, the word is spirit and life. So the Jews understand this in a spiritual context, not in a context of reason of the mind. Hence the translation here. This is your spiritual act of worship, right? But the key is, offer your bodies. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, you all know what a sacrifice is or was, right? You know, as Carol said, you used to get the fluffy little lamb thing, lambikins, and slit its gizzard, and it would have terrible things done to it. Terrible. Are you glad you live in the New Testament? Yes? We don't have to go out and fight the Chaldeans? Are you glad? Hey? Joshua made Saddam Hussein look like a pussycat. He did. Aren't you glad we live now, not then? Offer your body. So how are you going to offer your body as a living sacrifice? You understand the principle of sacrifice is that it costs you something. There's no good bringing a lamb that only had three legs because it had no monetary value, you see. There's no cost to that. God wouldn't accept that. They did do that, you know, in the Old Testament, and God got really sick of it. God doesn't accept a blemished sacrifice. Never did. Never did. Jesus was an unblemished, perfect sacrifice, right? He was acceptable. So a blemished sacrifice, one that doesn't cost you anything, is not acceptable to God. How are you going to offer your body as a living sacrifice? You can't jump on the altar and slit your throat. It's simple. In the Gospels, not the Gospel, but the letters of John, you find an overriding theme running right through, and it's called love your brother. Now, I can give you a testimony which will illustrate this. Back in our church many years ago, before we went to Kingdom Faith Ministries, there was a period of time when a lot of down and outs used to come in our church. We used to get a bunch of them coming in, you know. And I don't know about you, but this is the way I was. You know, I'd be sat there and they'd come in and I'd say, I hope they don't sit by me. Anyone witness with that? Of course, God is smart, you know. And if you say that, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Well, I was blessed because our pastor used to allow me to come out to the front and pray with folks. You know, when it was ministry time and we called folks forward for prayer, he used to let me come and pray with people. It's a way of building me up. Good pastor. And guess who had to always come and pray for the down and outs? Who always came forward, you know. Guess who got the job? You know? And you think, oh Lord, they smell, and oh Lord, there's, you know, nicotine dripping off them, and you know, they've probably got a bottle of booze in their pocket, and you're thinking all of these terrible things. Oh dear, dear. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Go and pray with them. Let them sit next to you. Go and talk to them. Some of them are quite friendly. Now, I'm not saying I'm Mr. Perfect, but God taught me a lesson in that. Right? But the sacrifice is obvious. I went and prayed for this guy and got close to him. You know, and prayed for him. That was a sacrifice for me. I had to swallow whatever it was, pride or I don't know. It had to go. Loving your brother is a sacrifice. Because you have to go to them sometimes. Sometimes they're not lovable. Sometimes they are. But some of them aren't. But you have to go and love them. And that's a sacrifice. And it costs. It's offering your body. Right? In our church, we have a rota for church cleaning. And there's so many people in the church, praise God, that you only have to do it twice a year. It's not, you know, it's alphabetical, it comes around twice a year. And they set that up and everyone's sticking to it, they're being faithful and they're coming. But what a shame they have to set up a rota in the first place. You see, coming down on a Saturday morning and cleaning the church is offering your body as a living sacrifice. The thing we're missing in all of this is that God is accepting that as worship. That is an act of worship. Now, worship in Scripture, worship and service are interchangeable, the words. To worship God is to serve Him. Not necessarily just to sing songs, although singing songs is a great way of expressing what's inside. Right? Coming down and cleaning the church on a Saturday morning is an act of worship. You have to get in the toilets and we have a help ministry in our church. It runs several days a week throughout the day. It's like a shelter for people who are on the street and they get fed and things. You know, there's quite a few of them come in and you want to see the state of the loo. Sometimes cleaning the loo is a serious sacrifice. You ask Carol, she had to do it last time when we were there. It's a serious sacrifice. They get stuff where stuff didn't ought to be. Do you understand? And that's a sacrifice. And God says, I accept that as worship. When you do that, you are worshipping me, in other words. And it can be, and I hope this comes as a release for a lot of people, but it can be that you're worshipping God throughout your daily life and not even realizing it. You give Mrs. Jones a lift to the shops to get her shopping. Do it because you love the Lord. God's saying, that's worship. You bring someone to church because their car's broken down. You put yourself out. You go and pick them up. Bring them down to church. God's saying that's worship. I am accepting that as worship. How many mums come to church with baby like this, trying to sing the songs and baby's going, you know. You've seen it. And you might not see it from down there, but from up here you see lots of things. And you see frustrated mums trying their best, bless them, to, you know, whatever. And baby's going bang, wallop, and down. Mummy, I want a colouring book. You know, and you can see the turmoil that mum is in. Mum thinks she's not worshipping God because she's not singing the songs and not entering in like the rest of us. But, you know, the truth of it is that when you look after your kiddie well, you're worshipping God. The simple truth of it. It's not just singing the songs. Singing the songs is only the tip of the iceberg. But you're worshipping God by offering your body a living sacrifice. I wonder if that comes as news to you. Or are you a good church and has someone preached that already? But I'd certainly not seen it before. God showed me, but it took me to America to reveal something like that to me. And I preached it to the Californians, who are very laid back people, you know. So laid back they almost fall over. And the pastor's having to come down and clean the church. The pastor's having to do all the preaching. And the pastor's wife makes all the cakes and does the teas and anything. Who else does anything else in this church? Well, man, you know, it's not quite that bad, but you know, culture. Culture it is. Look at the next verse. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, whether you be Californian or Nuneatonian. They have to make a sacrifice that was going to be big for them, because they're going to have to break their culture and come down and clean the church. I even suggested we had a piece of paper at the front and they could come down and write their name on it. I don't think the pastor quite had the bottle to do that, though. It doesn't come from Liverpool, see. Do you understand? Offering your body in a sacrificial way is an act of worship. And according to the NIV translation, it's a spiritual act of worship. God's translating your physical act into a spiritual thing. Simply because it's the spirit inside you that causes you to do it. Which is God's spirit. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can cry, Abba Father. We can't worship in any other way. You can sing songs and do things, but you can only worship by the Spirit of God who lives in every one of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Smile. If he doesn't, you've got no guarantee. You know that, don't you? The Holy Spirit is your guarantee of your inheritance. If he's not there, you have no guarantee. So, to worship God in spirit and truth involves using your body. In fact, I'd say it's mostly using your body. So next time Mrs. Jones needs a lift to the shops, think about worshiping the Lord. Next time someone's broken, their car's not working and they need a lift to church, think about worshiping the Lord. Or if the next door neighbor's kids want to come to Sunday school because mum and dad aren't saved or something, think about worshiping the Lord. Because God will be thinking that way. He will accept that as worship. It's so simple. But then much of Scripture is so simple, we miss it. And we will then be fulfilling that command to worship Father in spirit and in truth. Have a Christ-like character. And God will accept you as a worshipper. Praise you, Lord. God has made it so easy for us. It's not difficult to do, you know. That spirit who is within you is very powerful and can overcome all kinds of things if you'll just take the first step, you know. Bless you, Lord. Let's just pray. Father.